where we left off last week with maybe a little bit of a detour here. And if you would, Psalm 119, we're looking at verses 65 to 72. And that's under Teth. And Tet. So that indicates something that's rolled or coiled. And usually it would be portrayed by a basket or a rope, or really most times by a serpent. A serpent. And I'd like to, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, or I'm going to try to anyway, where we were talking, I was talking about prudence and discretion. But I'd like to read through these verses together and pick up on a couple of them, and then we'll go to where we left off last week. Verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold. And I'd like to just for a little bit, look at, in particular, Psalm 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And Psalm 71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And I want you to, if you would, turn to Psalm 145, verse 5. Psalm 145, 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. That's 145. I said 141. 141, 5 says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayers also shall be in their calamities. And for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. And the writer here is familiar with Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, where it talks about open rebuke is better than secret love. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And we need to be aware that not everyone that gets us into trouble is an enemy, and not everyone that gets us out of trouble is a friend. We need that discretion. And the Lord will give us that. And the devil preys on Christians who are weary. And then when they are, they're very vulnerable when they're burdened. And that's when we are to look to our brothers and sisters in Christ for comfort, for exhortation. And Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. And you know, he's given you a book here that will help you be learned. That's the only book it's really worth spending a great deal of time in. And I say that having wasted a lot of years reading other things that would have benefited me my life far more than the scripture would have benefited me far more than any one of those. But that's the way of man. A man is too soon old and too late smart. And I wonder if you would, we'll go back to Psalm 119. And we're going to be looking, we did touch a little bit on prudence last week and verses on that. And we want to look at discretion. Discretion and the opposing quality to discretion would be simple-mindedness. It says a simple believe every word. Can't believe every word. Discretion is using wisdom to avoid damaging attitudes, words, actions, and to give insightful counsel. And a close synonym to discretion is the word prudent. And discreet behavior can avoid development of dangerous situation. Those who can damage you, damage your loved ones. And I think we're living in such a wicked world today. We all know that. We're accosted with it every day. But I don't think that we have the alertness that God would have us to have. I think that we... Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 22:3. Another word for prudent would be one that denotes cleverness. Cleverness not in the ways of the world, but when you combine that with proper motives and knowledge, a prudent person is able to avoid problems and to think out insightful solutions to it. Proverbs 14:8. And if you want to kind of hang around Proverbs, we'll be looking at several verses there. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. And so discretion is knowing when it's best to say nothing at all sometimes. Every question doesn't require an answer. It doesn't require a response. And we certainly should not be trapped into responding when we don't have a good answer for it. And we should figure out the answer after the question sometime and then wait for it to come around again. But, a simple man opens his mouth and confirms his foolishness, but a discreet man keeps silent is considered wise. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And I think about that sometimes when I'm usually have the radio on and I listen to usually only one or two stations, either 90.5, it's a Christian station, and I'll switch over to the news to 560. And when I hear these guys ranting away and away, and I think about that verse that says, every idle word shall man give account of in the day of judgment. And say, man, set a watch over my lips. Keep the door of my heart. So further characteristics of prudent behavior would be a creative skill. The Bible says, when you search for me as hid treasure. And Proverbs 8:12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. When we were homeschooling our youngest son, we'd read a proverb a day. And we'd do that in the morning, usually before I went to work. And if I had to maybe if I was traveling, had to go to the airport, leave early for some reason, I'd read the proverb, and then I'd write out a little note about something in it and leave it for my son and my wife to look at, and so I could still participate in that learning process. And that was always one of his favorite verses. He liked the way it sounded. But really, it has to do with creativeness. I mean, the Spirit is creative. Christians are creative people, and they've found wonderful ways to be creative in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out into almost every corner of the world. And that's worth a lot. And in life or in counsel, you're either a part of the problem or the part of the solution. And if you're not one of those, you really shouldn't be involved in it. And the other thing to remember, I over the years at work, there were probably about 5 maybe pretty solid Christians around there. And we would kind of converse from time to time, if not, we'd do it through email or text. And I had the occasion to have a couple of fellows that work for me from time to time tell me about a problem. And the biggest thing I'd have with them is when they'd have, especially a family problem, is I said, don't give me details. Don't let them give you details, especially in a marriage situation, a man and a woman. Don't ever let a man tell you things about his wife that he shouldn't be telling you. There is a kind and a prudent way to describe almost anything without getting into details. So there's a couple of reasons for that. Now, they get back together. That's wonderful. They're a happy couple again, they're a happy family. You know things about that family that he's embarrassed about now. And if he was your friend before, maybe he'd still be your friend, but he'll be distanced. So don't let anybody trap you into that. You only need so much information to be able to know what the root problem is and deal with it. Good judgment. A prudent man covereth shame. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. That's part of the counsel. And a prudent man is cautious in his speech. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. A prudent person uses initiative in learning. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And then if you drop down from Proverbs 18:15 to verse 17, it says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. He seemeth just. But his neighbor cometh and searcheth him out. So there are 2 sides to every story. And you can't make a decision, not a prudent one, based on one side only. And then you need to check out information. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And the prudent man or the prudent woman is teachable. A teachable spirit. A teachable employee. Sometimes you hire a person and they want to tell you how much they know and how they won't need any supervision and they've got everything covered. Prudence is a beautiful word. And a prudent man has openness to reproof, Proverbs 15:5. He that regardeth reproof is prudent, and a fool despises his father's instructions. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And it all begins in the home. Begins with a family. That's where your children come into contact with the first real authority in their life. It's through parents. That's God ordained. That's part of his design. What's the first, very first thing in the garden with Adam and Eve? He was building a structure of the family there. And just as Satan got in the way there, Satan likes to get in the way of families, and he likes to tear them up. And he's a destroyer, and he's a deceiver. And we need to be regarding reproof. And we need to be regarding our Heavenly Father's instruction. That follows for children and for adults. You never get too old for God to take you into the woodshed. Now, I was glad when I got to that age where my dad no longer would take his belt off. Wasn't sure if he had a good meal or whether I'd done something and he'd found out about it. I couldn't keep track of all those things, you know. But, and then the importance of discretion. And discretion, when properly used, will protect the man's health, wealth, and wisdom. Proverbs 2:11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. You know what Job said in Job 28:28 from last week? Job said, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And understanding is having a firm enough grasp on the truth to get away from that evil out there. God says there in the last chapter of Romans, I would have you wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil. Like our children. We don't want them to know evil experientially any more than God wanted Adam and Eve to know about the tree of life experientially. He would have taught them when the time came. And so there's seven areas here of discretion. Discretion is developing and exercising an understanding heart. And look at Proverbs 5, 1-4. Proverbs 5, 1-4, actually I think 1-5. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We've just been talking about the wise counsel. And here's the enigma here with Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible. So much wisdom. I was thinking about that this week. Young people, challenge young people to commit to memory the whole book of Proverbs. 31 in there, one for every day of the week. But a teenager can memorize a chapter a week if you get rid of the cell phones and the distractions. Those are distractions. They're not life. We don't live our life on that little 4-inch screen or that 60-inch screen, whatever it is. Discretion. That thou mightest regard discretion and thy lips may keep knowledge. Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5, 1 to 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to hell, her steps. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. And verse 6, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. So here's the wisest man in Scripture. What was his downfall? Loved many women. Many women. It says he had 700 wives. And I like the teacher who'd ask the class if they knew anything about Solomon. And they said, yeah, he had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. Well, it was concubines, actually. But when he was older, his wives turned his way, his heart away from the Lord. And it says he followed not the Lord as did his father David. So you can have wisdom and you can lose it. And you lose it when you get away from this book here. You lose it. You keep your heart and your head and your nose in the book. God will keep you straight. You keep you right. And if you remember this passage here, there's that daredevil lure I was talking about last week, flashing in the water. Number two, discretion is distinguishing right from wrong and choosing right. Choosing right. Distinguishing right from wrong and choosing right. Discretion knows what attitudes, words, and actions are right and honorable and just. And then he acts upon those. Psalm 112, 5 and 6. Psalm 112. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And if you're there, down to verse 9, it says, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And discretion involves judging and rendering a verdict involving conduct. And then the third thing of the seven is, discretion is treasuring and using wisdom. You know, wisdom has to have value to you, to the individual. It has to have value to you so that when you're talking to your kids or you're talking to others, they understand it means something. There's something behind it. And that something is in your heart and your life and the way you live it out. Treasuring wisdom. To guard it, to cherish it, and to delight in it. Proverbs 3, 21 to 24 addresses that. Proverbs 3, 21 to 24. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And it covers these. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down in thy sleep, shall be sweet. And you won't have to talk about troubled sleep. The Lord will take care of your sleep. For the one that treasures money, it says, rather than wisdom, he wants to get riches, but he'll not be able to sleep well in fear of losing his money. And John D. Rockefeller, the first, years and years back, was that man. He couldn't get a good night's sleep. He never had a good meal. Stomach was always messed up, and he was a mess with his life. And then he got a hold of the Bible. Somebody got a hold of him, I think. And he started giving his money away. I mean, he had plenty to give, but he was giving it away in vast amounts. He started sleeping. He started eating better. He finally could sit down and have a steak for a meal, because God had got a hold of his heart, cleaned out some of those things in there. Matthew 6:33 says that our priority ought to be, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then number four, discretion is recognizing and responding to the motives of people, to the motives of others. What's their motive? What's behind? Those who have wicked and deceptive motives should be avoided. Solomon became successful and he became famous because he had wisdom and understanding and discretion. However, near the end of his life, he lost his discretion, and his heart was drawn away by immoral women. And he talked about that in the book he wrote, Proverbs 2, 10, 11, and verse 16. And he said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, you have to value it. You got to have value in it. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And then it talks about the evil man in verse 5. And then in verse 16 it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. That's what he wrote about. Deliver thee from the strange woman. From the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And Proverbs 3:5-14 also has strong cautionary warning. I'm not going to go there now, but we're going to move on to number 5. But those are good verses. Discretion is turning knowledge into wise counsel. Knowledge that's not dispersed and not used for the Lord is stagnant. It's not fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. He's the root, and we're the branches. Fruit grows on the branches. The branches have to bear fruit, not the root, not the tree. And Proverbs was written so we should know wisdom. That's Proverbs 1. We read 2 and 4 there, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. And discretion emphasizes the subtlety and insight of the counsel that's given. And number 6, discretion is having the spirit of wisdom and walking in it. And if you think about Joseph, he was one of the most outstanding role models in the Bible for conduct. And he had a listening and obedient ear to his father. And he used discretion in evading Potiphar's wife. He didn't stop to argue with her, didn't stop to reason with her. He left so fast, he left his coat there. And he demonstrated that discreetness in dealing with Pharaoh back in the book of Genesis. Let's turn to there and read that. Genesis 41, 33 to 36. He's speaking with Pharaoh here, and he's telling him that, behold, in verse 29, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and let him set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And then let them gather all the food of those good years and come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants. And then he goes on, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So that's just an amazing story there, how God worked in Joseph's life. But you know what? Joseph was cooperating with God at every stage. He cooperated when he was in Potiphar's house, and that he followed God. He said, shall I do this thing against God? And he cooperated in prison when he told the dream for the butler and the baker, but they'd forgotten about him. But he stayed faithful, and God brought a famine and worked it out. And Joseph was discreet. And that's a good reminder to all that an indiscreet word or action may take only a moment, but it can result in a lifetime of regret. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And a companion verse in the New Testament would be James 1:19, which says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. God will work his righteousness in his time. And we'll close there. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, for the wisdom of Proverbs. And Lord, we know that it's stagnant if we don't touch it. Lord, we know it does us no good if we don't embrace it. We know, Lord, we will not be as successful if we don't seek it like it was hid treasure. And I pray, Lord, you'd plant it in the hearts of each of us here, Lord, to be faithful to you. Lord, I know you have a lesson and you have an area of influence in each one of our lives. And Lord, that's our mission field, wherever you've placed us in life. So I pray you'd help us to recognize that and then help us to respond with love of Christ. Help us to respond, Lord, with the character of Christ. And help us to respond, Lord, so that we might lead others to Jesus Christ. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.